This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham in Virginia and Scott German in Louisville, Kentucky, the site of the Who's win in the Sweet 16, defeating Oregon 53-49. Scott was courtside for the game. Scott also was he's just been in the locker room in the last couple of minutes. So, Scott, your impression from the locker room and your impression from courtside in this grinded out win for Virginia over Oregon?
Well, catch my breath a minute. It's Virginia basketball at its best and maybe at its worst at the same time.
Okay? Yeah.
Horrible free throw shooting. Kyle Guy can't seem to get a rhythm going. DeAndre Hunter, for the most part, missing in action. But who do we turn to? Of all people. The kid that can't shoot, the kid that doesn't need to be playing. If you're listening to read the message boards, he ain't Clark. And that's what championship teams do. They find a way to win. Every night, someone different steps up. And, this was similar just to the Sunday game down in Columbia, in which the first game of the night was a thoroughbred racehorse up and down the field, Purdue and Tennessee. Just unbelievable. And then Virginia comes on the floor, and it looks like someone put molasses on the field. The speed of the game slows down. The defensive intensity is so much different. Having checked courtside for the Tennessee Purdue game, it was almost like the other team just wanted the other. Tennessee wanted Purdue to shoot so Tennessee could get the ball back. It was like for to watch Virginia play. And there's 13 Oregon at Virginia. I think you texted me at some point during the game. Yeah, they kind of mirror one another. And they really do. Right? They value the possession. They play very, they're contesting passes, pushing the ball out from the basket. It's kind of interesting to see a team from the Pac-12, a team from the West Coast play. But yet, they're very similar in their style, in my opinion.
Yeah, Oregon's a little bigger, but they both play defense. Oregon's defense is a little different. They play a sort of zone, sort of man. Chris Webber was comparing it on the game broadcast to the old UNLV amoeba defense, the one that Jerry Tarkanian used to win some championships back in the 80s and 90s. Big team, athletic team, and they make it hard. And Virginia, again, you talked about it, Scott. Kyle got 4 of 15 from the floor, 10 points, 2 of 11 from 3. Ty Jerome, 5 of 12, that's respectable, 6 assists, he had 13 points. Hunter's numbers actually looked better than the way it felt like. He was 4 of 13 for 11 points. Diakite, who had been so solid the first couple of games, 7 points, 3 of 7, he did have 11 rebounds. Kia Clark, 12 points, 4 of 9 shooting, 3 of 8 from 3, 6 assists in the game. And he ignited two different runs, if you want to call it. In the first half, down 16-10, literally I get a text from Scott saying, this is atrocious, something of that nature. And Kia hits a three. And that starts a 20-6 run in the last 6:01 of the first half. Virginia goes from being down 16-10 to up 8 at the half. And then that three for Clark, 5-something to go second half. Right after a three by Louis King for Oregon had put Oregon up three in this game. It was 45-42, and it just felt like, man, that three with 5:43 to go, that three is going to be big for Oregon in this game, in this low-possession game. And then Kihei, literally 20 seconds later, catches the ball off a screen, and that's not how he normally shoots. He's normally a guy who, when he shoots, is very reluctantly. And it's usually because he's standing there wide open and he almost has to take the shot. He was running off the screen, bounced off the screen, kind of a Kyle Guy-like shot, and ties the game back up. a Ty Jerome three-pointer at the 334 mark put Virginia ahead, ultimately to stay. And then it was just a slog to the end. Neither team scoring until a DeAndre Hunter layup as Virginia broke a press 27 seconds to go, and that kind of set the end game for us. Scott, I couldn't sit down for the last 8 minutes of this game. I can only imagine you sitting there courtside, how tough that was. I couldn't sit. I couldn't stand. I couldn't move enough. That was the most intense I've ever seen a last 8 or 10 minutes of a game, probably, that I've seen in years.
If you think it was intense watching it on TV, multiply that by about 100 here in the arena. Now, kind of set the stage. The arena for the Purdue-Tennessee game, because both schools were much closer, it was just electrifying. The game was breakneck speed. It was just an electric atmosphere. When Oregon and Virginia takes the floor close to 10:30 at night, probably still about 80% full. Bunch of Purdue fans still obviously milling around to try to scout their next opponent. And but it was a good contingent for Virginia here, much newer than Oregon. But again, it is, you could see that the UVA fans were kind of sitting on hand, because they couldn't put a stretch of consistent play together to put Oregon away. That's about 8.5, and you thought maybe they're going to put it together in the second half and win your thing going away. But, I had a text from them during the game that said, what is wrong with, what's wrong with this game? And I said, it's two teams that don't, they're playing one another and don't, they don't want to see you in the end here in Louisville tonight. So, it's as simple as that. Do the X's and O's and analytics, but one of these two teams wanted the season in here in the Yum Yum Center. So it was a great game that kind of set the stage of the UVA locker room. Incredibly subdued. It was almost like you're mingling in a conference room right after a conference is finished. People are kind of rehashing the game. No real jubilation. Nobody, hollering and screaming. This team is, you've been in the locker room, that's right. They're just telling you. And tonight was very much the same. Very business-like. I'm a little taken back by that, because this is a conference. To reach the Elite Eight is a tremendous accomplishment. But the UVA locker room is certainly not showing that. They're so busy, so methodical.
Yeah, I thought the locker room, it surprised me after the Oklahoma game. It was very similar, very quiet. It was the locker room after Gardner-Webb. That's the one where it seemed like to me that maybe the monkey came off the back. I know we heard on the game broadcast about Tony actually going in the locker room right before he went to talk to the media after the Oklahoma win with a stuffed monkey on his back, and kind of threw it off his back and said, look, the monkey's falling off our back. But you didn't feel that in the locker room after the game against the Oklahoma win, but you really felt it after the Gardner-Webb win. And maybe tonight the subdued locker room maybe is a function of relief after this grinded out game. I mean, the other two wins were double digit wins, even though the comeback in the Gardner-Webb game made it that way. The Oklahoma win was a comfortable win, if you want to say. There was nothing comfortable about this one. You talked with Kihei Clark and Mamadi Diakite. What was the sense from those guys about this win and getting ready now for Saturday night?
Mamadi pretty much was that big mentality. If they're not finished, they have work to do. They came here to win two games, and that's their focus. He talked a little bit about the block that resulted initially in a technical. And then he reviewed it. He basically was embarrassed almost, saying, that's not me. That's not my game. And the GA, he really just basically echoes what Brady is just, he can score at anything. He does what it takes. He's had games where we didn't see it. Certainly need to back it up. And it is almost like, hey, why is everyone surprised with it? If I can do this. If I can do that on his ass, then he certainly should have done tonight.
Kia is the MVP so far of the South Regional. He's responsible, I think, directly for two of the three victories for EVA. So interesting that the 5'9 freshman who nobody had heard of until he got to UVA, and we heard in preseason camp that he was hounding Ty Jerome in practice. He's the reason we're still playing basketball. So 8:49 is the official start time, tip time for the UVA Purdue game on Saturday night. So for some reason we're the late game. Gonzaga and Texas Tech will, in the West region, will play the early game. I'm surprised by that decision by CBS, but I guess that's respect for EVA. It means that they think we're going to have some good ratings in prime time on Saturday night. And Virginia's second Elite Eight appearance in the last four seasons, looking for a first Final Four since 1984. And the guy you're listening to on the other end of the phone line here, Scott German, who is in Louisville, he's been to the two UVA Final Fours in any of our lifetimes, 1981, 1984. And so, Scott, last thoughts here, because it's after 1 o'clock, and I know you had a long day driving from Virginia to Louisville and now watching this game after an overtime in the first game. Final thoughts about this and then getting ready for Saturday night?
Well, if anyone's worried about Purdue running us out of the gym, just remember what Virginia did to Oklahoma Sunday in Columbia after Oklahoma scored 95 points. That's not going to be the game Purdue's going to play. And if Purdue's going to beat Virginia, they're going to beat Virginia playing a Virginia game. But Chris, I don't think they can do that.
Those are good final thoughts. So that game, again, is Saturday night, 8:49 tip, late night. Again, for the folks there on the scene in Louisville. And Scott German's going to be there. He sat courtside tonight. He'll sit courtside for the Elite Eight. I'm jealous as hell that he's going to be able to do that. But glad Augusta Free Press has represented courtside here at the Sweet 16 and now coming up in a couple of days at the Elite Eight. So for Scott German in Louisville, I'm Chris Graham back in Virginia here at the desk and signing off for the night. Wahoo wah.